Today we'll be reading from Matthew chapter 1, beginning with verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, he was found to be with child. She was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." Then Joseph woke up. He did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. God's word for our consideration this morning. Please be seated. As I mentioned last week, during each of our services, as we anticipate Christmas Day, I'll be sharing in a chronological fashion the various accounts of the Christmas story found in Matthew as well as in Luke. And I've entitled today's message, "Joseph's Dream." Now, I know that we all probably had some dreams last night, but often we don't remember those dreams, do we? Some dreams are pleasant. Some dreams are downright annoying. Some dreams are extremely silly. And other dreams are really frightening. And those in the medical profession who have studied dreams have found out that most adults dream 3 to 5 times during the time they sleep, 7 to 8 hours. But certainly we'd have to say that over 2,000 years ago, Joseph had a very unique dream. How about Joseph? He seems to almost be the forgotten person during Advent. You don't even find many Christmas carols that even mention the name Joseph. And the fact that he was the foster father, not the real biological father of Jesus, perhaps that may have over the years reduced his status in the eyes of some. But in addition to that, we don't have any of the words that Joseph ever spoke mentioned in the Bible other than one word, and that word is Jesus. But we can be certain that God had carefully examined the character of the man who was chosen to be Jesus' foster father, and that God providentially supervised the choice of this husband for Mary. I believe that Joseph would have been a considerate husband. We know that Mary and Joseph probably grew up in the same community of Nazareth, but it is very likely that Joseph was born in Bethlehem, some 65 miles to the south. Apparently, Joseph and his family had moved to Nazareth sometime during his youth. He had met Mary, and he was engaged to marry her. Now, you have to understand that engagement in the first century among the Jewish people was very different than engagement today. Engagement at that time was a binding contract. It was nearly as binding as marriage itself. And that's why Joseph is called Mary's husband and Mary is called his wife even before their marriage was consummated. An engagement was so binding that it could only be dissolved by divorce. And Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. And one day, suddenly, an angel told Mary that she was to have a child, not by normal human generation, but through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we talked about in last week's message. But how would Joseph react when she broke the news that she was expecting a child? In fact, in Luke chapter 1, verse 56, it informed us that the first 3 months following the angel's announcement to Mary, Mary spent those with her cousin Elizabeth in the hill country of Judea. And when Mary returned to Nazareth and told Joseph about her physical condition, I'm sure Joseph was absolutely shocked and his mouth probably hung wide open. Put yourself in Joseph's place. Mary's story would have seemed so unusual and so strange, to say the least. Could Joseph have wondered what was Mary really doing when she was away from Nazareth for 3 months? Had she been unfaithful? And certainly at that time, the normal thing would have been for Joseph to have exposed her pregnancy before marriage and to make her a public disgrace. And certainly Joseph was even considering that course of action when an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Now, Joseph could have been very cruel. He could have divorced her. But Joseph was a godly man of compassion and kindness. We also believe that Joseph was a man of godly wisdom. He was a person who thought before he acted, and he dealt with Mary thoughtfully and with courtesy. And I think that's how every husband should always treat his wife. It's easy to forget this and sometimes take spouses for granted when we're preoccupied with many things, including earning a living. Unfortunately, in America today, I believe probably too many husbands are short, snappy, and too quick to respond with their words. They might speak to their spouse or members of their family with an irritated tone of voice. And some people, well, some husbands have the mistaken notion, this mistaken belief, that just because a woman is their wife, she ought to just know that he loves her. But a woman needs to hear from her husband, "I love you." Second, we can determine from the scriptures that Joseph was a very obedient individual. He was willing to do God's will. He was obedient to the angel's message in the dream. He couldn't have understood the how and the why of the angel's instructions, but he acted in simple faith in reception of God's messenger. Joseph believed that the word from the angel was true, and he complied with God's purpose. I think we all have to remember at all times of the year that our faith in Christ becomes a real, an actual, a saving faith when it's validated by obedience. I think there are too many Christians who name the name of Christ in our country today that forget the words of Christ that were recorded in Matthew 7:21. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." Each one of us needs to be spiritually renewed right up here in our minds and tuned in order to accomplish God's will for our lives and to determine to carry out the clear instructions of Scripture even when it might not be popular. But we know that Joseph awakened from his dream. He knew that Mary was expecting a child as a result of divine miracle. And he hurried off to Mary's house, and shortly thereafter, they were married just as the Lord's angel told them to do. And Joseph gave Mary the protection of a husband and gave Jesus the dignity of a foster father. Third, this morning, I think we can conclude that Joseph was a good citizen. He was submissive to Caesar Augustus, the Roman emperor, who had decreed that a census should be taken. Now, the word taxed in the King James Version refers to a registration, a compiling of information that was going to be later used for purposes of taxation. Joseph was obedient to the law of the empire. He returned to his birthplace, Bethlehem, as he was expected to do, and he did what the political authorities told him to do. Joseph was not the type of person like many of us are who take the attitude that if we don't like a certain law, we'll just ignore it. Laws like maybe putting that seatbelt on, or laws that say in the state of Maryland, you're not supposed to use that cell phone when you're driving. Joseph was a law-abiding citizen even when it was not convenient. And when Caesar Augustus called for a census, think about it. Joseph had to drop the work he was doing. He had to take Mary to Bethlehem to be registered. He couldn't register online. This was not going to be an easy trip. You know, many Jews looked down upon other Jews who even went for this registration for taxation because they resented the Roman conquest. They resented the idea of a census, and they planned to resist Roman rule by all means possible, including violence and terrorism. In fact, the first century Jewish historian Josephus wrote how the Zealots, the Jewish political terrorists of their day, made life hard for people who did choose to go to their birthplace to register for taxes. Listen to this. The Zealots often plundered their property, drove away their livestock, and even set fire to their homes when they left for that tax registration. Joseph knew that being the obedient servant of God also involved being a good citizen. And I think today God's people have an obligation to be good citizens and to obey the laws unless they are in a direct conflict with the clear teachings of the Bible. I also believe that Joseph was a very spiritual man. And as I mentioned before, it seems every December the spotlight settles on the infant Jesus, his virgin mother, the shepherds, the angels, and the wise men. You probably have seldom ever heard a message about Joseph. But it's intriguing to me that the name Joseph literally means the Lord add. We believe that Joseph, of course, occupationally was a carpenter. Some people believe he was more than a carpenter. He was even a general contractor. And the last time we find Joseph mentioned indirectly in the Gospels is in Luke chapter 2, verse 43, when Jesus is 12 years old. How old was Joseph when he became Jesus' foster father? Some contend that Joseph was an older widower who already had a grown-up family before Mary became his wife. Other people believe that Joseph was a teenager just like Mary when he was married. Jesus' half-siblings in that case would have been born after the birth of Christ. But we do not know, according to the Bible, exactly how many children Joseph and Mary did have together. But what we do know, according to Scripture, is that royal blood flowed through Joseph's veins. He was of the lineage of King David. He had a dignity and a gentleness about him that reflected his family heritage. Yes, Joseph wasn't an absent father. Joseph was a present father when Jesus was born. He witnessed the adoration of the shepherds. He took Mary and the baby to Egypt to escape the slaughter of the innocents that was ordered by King Herod. We know, according to the Bible, that he took Jesus to the temple at least twice, presenting him as an infant, offering a humble sacrifice. And then when Jesus was 12 years old, he took him to Jerusalem and to the temple. We know that Jesus did call Joseph his father and was subject to him. Joseph was a hard-working, a God-fearing man who supported his family in a rather rustic town, disdained by some for its provincialism and obscurity. The question is, why is it that Joseph just seems to drop out of the historical accounts of the Gospels? Well, it's likely that he died when Jesus was a young man, and perhaps Jesus Christ had to assume the carpentry business and the support of the family. And some contend that Jesus didn't relinquish his role of village carpenter until his younger brothers were old enough to take over. Then Jesus began his public ministry at about age 30. Although there is little written in the Bible about Joseph, I think there's enough written for us to surmise about his spirituality. He was certainly sensitive to God's moral standards. Apparently, Joseph didn't have any dynamic, overwhelming personality, but he was a good man. He was a man of ordinary abilities. He put those abilities in God's hands, and God used him just like God can use each one of us today. I think Joseph was also sensitive to his own reputation. Have you ever heard somebody say, "I don't care what other people think because I know I'm right"? I think a person who says that is only trying to fool themselves. Certainly being right is important, but what people think of you is also important. You can be truly right, but if people think you're wrong, you have lost your opportunity to help them. The reputation of a spiritual person is very important. And I also think that Joseph was a sensitive individual. He was sensitive to Mary's plight. In Matthew 1:20 it says, "But after he had considered this, Joseph delayed harsh judgments. He didn't want to believe the worst. He was compassionate to Mary in her plight. He was willing even to divorce her quietly if that would protect her from the cruel gaze and the gossip of their neighbors in Nazareth. I think if we look at the life of Joseph, we can marvel at his emotional balance. This Advent, let's not forget to remember Joseph. Joseph was a considerate husband. Joseph was an obedient servant. Joseph was a good citizen. Joseph was a spiritual role model. May each of us determine with God's help to show consideration to every person, especially those in our families, to be obedient to Jesus Christ, whose first coming we celebrate during Advent, and to obey the laws of the nation which God has blessed us with as we consistently obey God's word for our lives. Let's remember Bethlehem as we turn to number 286 and sing together, Once in Royal David's City. Number 286 as we stand together.